Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host. I am very excited that you decided to dial in or log in, whichever way you got to this broadcast on tonight. I'm very grateful that you did. Like I said, I am Leah Killings with Empowered to Change, and our goal is to encourage, to educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so praise God, if this is your very first time listening, we hope that you will be encouraged, that you will learn something. It may not be a brand new topic, but something that will make you at least research a little bit more, examine, and get a better understanding so that you can apply it to your life to not only be empowered by it, but to empower someone else by sharing it. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you, praise God, that have been with me for the past 7 years, going on 8, I'm so grateful that God has blessed me to be in this vein for almost 8 years. And so it's a blessing that many of you have been with me, whether it's been 2 years, 2 weeks, 2 months, the whole entire time. I'm just grateful that you decide to tune in each Monday night and that you pray for me, that you keep me encouraged, you keep me motivated, and you keep me lifted up in the things of God. And so I'm always grateful to you and will always give you a major shout out. And then for those of you, praise God, that don't know the Omega Ministry Group, praise God, is an awesome ministry led by Tammy and Jesse Storr, that they keep us encouraged, keep us motivated to share the goodness of God. And most importantly, they are examples. They apply what they teach. And so I'm so grateful to be part of this group. I'm grateful that God has blessed me to be in their company so that I can see what walking out the word really looks like. So I will always give Tammy and Jesse Storr and the Mega Ministry Group a shout out, because praise God, without them, I wouldn't even know if this was a vein for me. So praise God, the biggest praise we have to give, and that is to our Father above, and that is to give him the best shout out. So we give him the best shout out, but always tongue to get us in the mind for listening and learning. And then praise God, we start the broadcast with another inspiring word of encouragement for each of you that tuned in each week. And then praise God, we acknowledge him in prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to wake up this morning to have your precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to even know who you are. Most importantly, Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that we celebrated on yesterday was made on our behalf. We thank you, Father, that Jesus went to that cross and bore all of the lashes to take all the sicknesses and diseases, everything that he took upon him, Father, he took to him to the grave. And so we thank you, Father, that because of yesterday, we were able to celebrate that he was raised from the dead with all power in his hands. And because he has all power, he said that he would give that power and authority to us. And so I thank you, Father, for giving it to us and allow us to operate in it. And we pray, Father, that we will be obedient and be good stewards of that authority and power that you have given. And so, Father, we just ask that you continue to bless us as we study your word. We ask that you help us where we minister to your people, that we have the right things to say, and that we do the right thing so that we can be examples for you. Now, Father, as we go into this lesson, I ask that you remove me and allow yourself, your presence, your anointing to come full-fledged through so that it operates through my mind, through my heart, through my lips, that I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, and that I do nothing in of myself unless it's something that you designed for me to do. But praise God, more importantly, Father, we want the word to go forth. And so we love you, we honor, we adore you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingswood, Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so I'm so excited on tonight, to my heart. My last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the power of being, using, understanding our gifts and what they entail, and why it's important for us to know what gifts we have so that we can operate in our gifts. We just thank God and the Father for allowing us to have gifts and talents. And sometimes I think we forget that God has given us all gifts and talents, and they are to be used to glorify him, and more importantly, to draw others to him. And so when we don't use those gifts, those talents, praise God, then we're not operating in the fullness of what God has designed for us. And so it is important for us to find out what those things are so that we can mature in the things of God. And so many times I think that we get stagnant. And so we've even talked about that in the past couple of months, about why it's important for us to mature in the things of God. Many of us don't understand that it's very essential that we grow spiritually. And so we know that we grow physically. I was thinking about a couple of days ago, I walked into my daughter's room and I saw the little slashes on the wall. And I thought how important it was, especially for my youngest daughter, to be measured up to those marks to make sure that she was taller than her sister. And so every time we marked for a little while, it didn't move. And so she was disappointed because she didn't feel she was growing. And so I explained to her there's many ways to grow. It doesn't have to necessarily be with height. It could be in so many other things. But she was looking for those marks on the wall to represent that she had grown in body and in stature. And so, praise God, eventually it came to a point where she was able to mark. And it didn't matter how small it was, the marking, but it was just enough to let her know she was growing, and so she was excited. And so that's how we have to be in the spirit of things of God, that we have to find a measuring stick, to find something that measures, are we growing? Are we getting any better? Are we doing things better because we've given our life to Christ? So rededicated ourselves or yielding to the giftings and the talents and all the things that God has placed in us so that we can be better disciples for him. And so one of the things that I like to do is I like to journal. And I like to journal because it gives me an understanding, especially when I go back and look through my journals to see where I've grown, conversations that I've had with myself to see if my language has changed. Am I using more scriptures? Am I using more content that's biblical? Or am I still speaking out of my own flesh and experiences? And so we have to make intercessions with ourselves. I know we pray, Lord, help me be a better Christian, but are we really doing anything to make sure that that comes to pass? Are we writing down the areas that we know we need to change? And then are we asking God to give us insight on the things that we need to change that we're not even aware of? I know many times I tell people that I like the word deception because it is true to its word. You know, we think about, you know, being greedy. We can kind of change the text of greedy to mean so many things, but deception is deception all the way through. Because if you don't know, you just don't know. And the only way that you can come out of deception is through the power of God. Because again, being deceived means you don't even know you're being deceived. And so the only person that can shake you up and wake you up from that deception is God. And that's why we pray for people that their hearts and their minds are open to the will of God so that when God reveals to you or to them, that there's a problem that they can actually see. And so many times God will reveal those things to us, but because we change our languages and we say things and we cancel out our prayers, or we're not necessarily operating in the things of God, we don't really get to hear the things of God. We mute him. And so my challenge for each of us tonight is to really pay attention on the things that we're saying. A couple of days ago, I had one of my mentors ask me, she said, Leah, are you challenged with your the process of your healing? And I said, well, amen, I could say no and be honest. I was like, I wish it was a little different. And she said, well, what are you doing? Are you canceling your prayers? Are people praying for you diligently for you to be healed? And then somewhere you're canceling canceling the prayers. And so I thought, wow, amen. And so I've gotten to this place now where I just say, it is what it is. And so today, for whatever reason, God kind of quickened me to, what does that mean when you say that? Have you looked that up, or are you just saying something? So I looked it up, what it is. Most of us know when we say that, you know, it's just a matter of kind of closing our conversation, or maybe not having that understanding of what we're going through or the situation may be. So it is what it is, and you just kind of walk into it. And so when I looked up the definition or looked up the expression, it is characterized as frustrating or a challenging situation that a person believes cannot be changed and must be accepted. I was like, wow, amen, I shouldn't say that. And then another explanation was, if something is fated to happen and you can't stop it from happening, and since you can't foretell the future, you just give up on the problem or the situation. I said, oh, wow, I got to stop saying that, because that is not productive. That is not scripture. That is not God. You know, we must know what we're saying when we say things that are popular but are not necessarily according to the plan or the will of God. And so I was challenged to figure out, okay, what do we do when we hear that, and how do we replace that so that we can say things that are better suited so that we can operate according to the word of God. And so before I could switch the page, I was still kind of engrossed on where did that statement even come from? And then how other statements came up like it. What will be, and how we just say these things and we don't realize that we're giving power to the enemy to create whatever havoc he wants, because we're not confessing the word of God. What we should be saying, if we just don't have anything to say or we don't know what to say, is the Lord is at hand. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. The Lord is at hand, 4 and 5. And it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And so if I don't know what to say or I don't know how to characterize something or I'm frustrated, I should just say the Lord is at hand and leave it alone. That way it doesn't cancel my own prayers. It doesn't cancel the prayers that people are praying for me, and that we all should take a look at what we're doing when we are faced in situations when we're ready to say it is what it is. No, we should say the Lord is at hand. And I like the fact that the Bible is so instrumental in giving us instructions and guidance, and why it's the last thing we usually pick up. And so the scripture that I found that was kind of similar to that is that I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So if you're never shaken, I'm sorry, that's Psalm 16 and 8. The first one was Philippians 4 and 5, and this one is 16 and 8. And so if we are conscious of the things that we say, conscious of the things that we have power to change and the things that we have to yield to God to change, we will be more careful in the things that we say. And when we do that, then that shows our maturity. That shows where we are in our walk with the things of God. And so tonight I want to make sure that God gave me to give you is why it's so important that we are careful what our tongue says, because our tongue has the power of life and death. And so we have to realize that the stakes are really high when we speak words, because they either give life or our words can speak death. And so our tongue should be conditioned or matured or trained to build up and not to tear down. And that if we remember, it's like a fire because it will double in size every minute. I don't know if many of you have ever seen a fire, but I used to play with matches, and I love playing with matches when I was a kid. And I was intrigued by how it catches so quickly. And so it's just God that I never burnt up anything. I never caught myself on fire because I played with matches quite a bit. And I used to like how it was, I would measure how far I could put one match to the other to see if it would catch and how long it would take for it to catch. And then sometimes, especially the one, my grandmother always had sticks, matchsticks. And so those are the coolest to me. Instead of the paper matches, the stick matches, because it took longer for them to burn and they had a higher flame. And little did I know, praise God, that if I had made any type of mistake, that thing could have caught me, burnt me, of course, but it could have burned the house down. It could have burned wherever. I mean, people could have died. It could have been a catastrophe. And that's similar to what happens when we don't guard and govern our tongue. It can be unchecked, and it can just create things that just take its life of its own. And so I know I've watched quite a few fire movies too, and just listen to the firemen and how they say it starts in one room and then things accelerate it. And so when we tell lies with our tongue, we have to keep building on to those lies. And so it's like it takes on a life of its own, because many times the deception comes in because you can't even remember the lie that you first told. So you're telling other things and you're trying to keep up and you can't. And so we all know that there's challenges with lying, but sometimes we forget that lies are detrimental, of course. But when we speak death over things and people, just as much as we see how a fire can escalate, some of the things that we say mean and the things that we don't say in the right spirit can also turn. I know that when I was I think I was maybe in second grade or third grade, I can't remember, a teacher told me that because I wasn't tall enough, that there were several things that I couldn't do. And so instead of me acknowledging what I couldn't do, it gave me the motivation to do more. And so that was a good thing. But there are times when people have said things to me that have been detrimental, and I haven't been able to grow from that. And so we have to be mindful that, you know, just as easy as for a fire to catch and to carry its own life, when we say things that are negative to people, they take a life of its own and can carry out. And so I remember my daughter played volleyball one year, and the lady told her that she wasn't good enough, that she was developing these other girls that were on her team because they played for her high school team. And so although my daughter was just as good as those girls, she wasn't part of her focus because she didn't go to her school or play for her team. And so when there were opportunities, when even the crowd would ask, you know, send her in, my daughter in, she would not do it, and she would, you know, just she had her own mindset. And so what they did was is that gave my daughter a sense of maybe I'm not as good as I am, or maybe I can't play the game that I have. And so for me as a parent, it was my responsibility to make sure that I checked that. And so the more I spoke to the coach, of course, the more there was some agitation. And so I had to make a decision. I can't allow this lady to keep speaking death over my child. Now, it wasn't death, you die, but it was death to the gift that God had given her. And so I had to make a decision. I had to pray and ask God, what should I do in this situation? Many times we stay under the umbrella of the taunting or the bullying that people give or do when they speak death and bad things over us, and it continues to compound just like the fire, then it breeds into other areas of our lives. So if you know somebody is speaking death over you, it is important for you to leave, especially when God gives you the understanding and allows you to recognize it. So, of course, I moved my daughter, put her in another program, and praise God, then she thrived and she was a better player. So we have to be mindful why the tongue is so important. It is important because it helps do quite a few things. I love the definition. It says the tongue is the doorway to life for our body. It's also the doorway of life for our spirit and our soul. It is not only designed to feed our body, but it also has the power to nourish our soul and our spirit. And so James 3, 9 through 11, I want you to read that. We're only touch base on a couple of the scriptures. But verse 11, I believe, is with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, curse human beings who have been made in the same likeness of God. And so we have to be mindful. And that's why, for me, and why I love the Bible so much, is because it gives us the answers that we need. It gives us the direction that we need. If we don't know how to govern and guide our tongue, there are many scriptures that will allow us to help us figure out the best way to speak life over people and not death. I like Proverbs 15:1. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a hard word stirs up anger. And then Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And then Proverbs 18:4, a person's words can be life-giving water. True words of wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. Now, I like those few scriptures because it talks about how basically to deal with arguing and why it's not important to even do the back and forth and back and forth. Because again, it shows your maturity. It shows your spiritual growth when you go back and forth with someone. I have a good friend that taught me a couple years ago that when people are arguing around her, she sits down. And I say, why do you sit down? She's like, because I'm not going to be part of that process. And so normally if you're standing in an argument, somehow you'll be invested to say something or to defend something, or someone will draw you in. So if you back out of the way, praise God, it's easier for you to keep your mouth together. And so it goes between them. Now, there have been many times that people think that they're trying to distract one or the other, or trying to help diffuse. And sometimes that cannot be what God intends. And that's why it's so important for us to always seek God, to not lean to our own understanding, because we can become part of the problem. Because again, that tongue, if it's not going to be used to build up, but to tear down, that's not a maturity walk for you or the person that's speaking. But it shows, praise God, that you're part of the. And so Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only that is good for building up to fit the occasion, and it may give grace to those who hear. And so, praise God, if you seek the things of God, and if you have an ear to God, and that's why it's so important for us to develop our hearing so that we can hear God if he tells us to speak or if he tells us to be quiet. Because, again, we want to make sure that we fit in all occasions. And so our maturity level is important, because sometimes we speak too swiftly or we insert ourselves and we shouldn't. And so the main thing, at least for me now that I've had the opportunity to be quiet for a while, is from Matthew 15:18,
But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and it defiles the person. And so now that you're quiet and that you sit back and you can see the things that come out of people's mouths, if the Bible is true and it comes from their hearts, where did that come from? And so we have to be careful when we speak that we are reminded that whatever has come out of my mouth is coming from my heart. And that shows, again, the level of maturity. And so you have to learn how to do some things before you can get to that point. And that's where Colossians 3:8 comes in. It says, but now you must put them all away, anger, malice, wrath, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Many times we get to talking, and maybe sometimes it's not even about much, but we allow ourselves to get caught up, and now we don't realize we may have said things that may have not been encouraging or uplifting. And so now the other person has an opportunity to look at the fruit, not judge necessarily, but see the fruit. Is this a mature conversation, or is this a conversation that you probably shouldn't be having? I love watching biographies, and I like watching reality shows because, to me, that's a mini biography because you're actually showing who you are. And you can see how people skip from skip to skip. And so I was like, Lord, help me not to be one of those kind of people that skip to skip to skip, because many times, as my uncle used to always say, if a dog is bringing a bone, you better believe he's taking one back. And so you have to be mindful to remember Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious. Let it be seasoned with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so if we know that if our speech is to be gracious, if we know that we are to speak so that we can teach others how to speak, praise God, we will always try to make sure that we are doing things according to the will of God and not to ourselves. And so I think sometimes we Christians can be so religious, and I like Joyce Meyer said it one time. She said, when you call people and say, the Lord led me to call you and tell you, and she said, no, you gossiping, call it what it is. And so I like James 1:26 that confirms that this is that anyone that thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue deceives his heart. This person is religion is worthless. And so we have to be so mindful of the things that we say. And so one of the things that I think that I have always enjoyed, and I found this to be true many years ago, and so I practice this quite often, and so I wanted to suggest it because it has had profound meaning for me, and maybe it'll be profound meaning for you. I was asked to do in a Bible study years ago to do a talking fast, and I didn't quite understand what that meant at the time. And it was like, talking fast, I know what a fast is. And so we fast from food, we fast from TV, we fast for enjoyable things, but fast from talking. And so it's, how do you fast from talking? Do you just not talk to people? And so you can do several things. You can fast, what's his name? I can't think of his name now, but he used to be a regular at Creflo Dollars Church. Lord will bring it to me. But every year, instead of them doing the annual fast that people do at the beginning of the year, he does a negative talking or a negative thinking fast. So no negative thinking, no negative talking. And so I've done that a few times with him, and it's been so encouraging to see the outcomes that come from that. And that comes from being mature and trying to do things differently so that you can grow in the things of God. I was trying to see if I could pull up his name online, but praise God, whether it comes or not. Talking fast are very important. And then thinking fast, a negative fast, are very important. And so when you do that, you get to hear a lot more from God. And then you get to hear and discover more things about yourself. And so one of the things that I think was important doing the speaking fast, it's not that, well, to some do complete no talking, but others, you can break it up however God leads you. But one of the most important ones for me was, especially when I wanted to develop more listening habits, is that I found that expressions are very important. And that's why I love the happy faces, because praise God, you could do a lot just smiling at people. You could do a lot by just nodding, and you could do a lot by, putting your hands together and saying that you're praying. All forms of expression matter when you fast from speaking. And so, of course, it's not true for all, but praise God. For me, it allowed me to see and understand the words that were actually coming out of the mouth of the other person. And so one of the things that I think was most important, this particular book that I followed, gave you different topics to look for by doing this fast. And so one of the things that were major points or whatever, but the ones that stuck out to me the most was, is now that you're not speaking or commenting on everything, and, you know, like I said, every week I love to talk. I'm not out of time because I like talking. And so praise God, I do this often enough so that I get to see, you know, where I'm making my errors when I'm speaking. And so one of the key was, you know, you find yourself missing the main point or missing the details of what person is saying, because if you're trying to listen too hard, you will miss it. And so it's so important, and that's why I hate texting and communicating through text messages, even sometimes through emails, because you can say something through a text message, you can say something on an email that can be totally misconstrued based on the person that's receiving it, because whatever they're going through, whatever, because they don't have an opportunity to see your expression, to know, did you really mean it that way? Or, and then I hate the whole thing about the caps. I like caps to show that I'm excited or whatever, but my daughter says, no, Mom, when you text in capital letters, that means you're shouting. And I'm like, well, who's supposed to know that? And so all these rules, again, affect our listening and our communication. And so that's why I don't like communicating through text messages, how they can be misconstrued, because now I find myself going through so many ways how I could say this, and it could take me 3 hours to type a little sentence that that could have been done in 2 seconds, but I'm trying to make sure that I don't say anything to offend or they won't misinterpret it. And then most of the time, going through all that long, I still miss the point. And so praise God. The next thing that I discovered, like I said, the points in this book is jumping to conclusions. Many times when I listen to people and we're talking, because of in your mind, you're processing what they used to do, how they used to do it, when they used to do it, who they used to do it with, you jump to the conclusion based on what they're saying, and you haven't even heard what they're saying. And then we deliver based on that assumption. That's not listening. And so when you're quiet more often, then you're able to realize, do I do that? Do I jump to the conclusion? Am I basing what they're saying based on a previous situation? And then the last one is focusing too much on the delivery and their appearance. And so praise God, I always used to do this when I was working as a manager, how many of the people, because of how people were dressed, they would automatically assume they came here to see. How do you decide that based on how someone's dressed? And that's why it bothers me when people judge people how they're dressed. We used to have many people, because I worked in the IDS building, and so it was a very professional building, be dressed to the 10th, to the 9th, to whatever. I mean, expensive suits. And they were the ones that were stealing, not the kids that were coming in with, you know, the pants sagging or these hoodies. It was those professional people that were stealing. And so sometimes when we focus on what people are saying, we're focusing on, as I am now, about people's teeth. Oh, wow, their teeth are nice. And so I miss part of the conversation because I'm looking at their teeth. I may be looking at their hair. You know, is their hair laid? Is it laid? I mean, all those things distract us from actually hearing what is actually being said. And we make our communication is based on what is being said. Thank you, Sister Elaine. Elaine told me it was Kenneth Copeland. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sweetheart. I love my listeners because they always try to help me out. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But praise God. We don't ever want to get to a point where we're listening too hard and we miss the point. We jump to conclusions, or we're focusing on the wrong things, how they look and how they deliver, if they're talking funny. I'm not listening. None of that. And then the other two was we yield to distractions to divert our attention. There are many times that people are giving their heart in their heart. And if the TV's on and you're looking at the TV, I know for me that distracts me, because it's like I'm telling you something I need for you to hear and you're watching TV, then that means you're not listening to me. Now, you could be, but it's a distraction for me. And so for me, as a mature person, I try to make sure that I give people my undivided attention, because it's not fair. Now, I know that I'm training a few lovely people, And she said, when your computer cuts out, that's distracting. I apologize because I said, I don't want to do anything that would distract you from the word of God. It is my intention for you to get everything that God has for you. So I have to, because I'm being mature, figure out a better way to do things so that it's not a distraction on my part. But many times when we're communicating, we do that. We do other things. And I didn't understand my sister for a long time. When she would call, she's like, she didn't have any kids at the time. She's like, every time I talk to y'all, like, sit down, be quiet, put that down. And she said, in the middle of the conversation, she said, it's kind of hard to follow, but, you know, amen. So, of course, you know, I had children, so I didn't get it. Now that she has a baby, and she's saying, I don't have those small children anymore, so I don't have that many distractions. But now it's, get down, put that down. So now I understand. But it's funny how you have to go through something sometimes to see it. But at the end of the day, do better, because now that you have seen and heard, and now you know not to yield to create more distractions for the person that you're paying, that you're talking to, especially when they want your attention. And so now, praise God, if somebody's talking about something important, I wouldn't allow my outside surroundings to distract me. I would have to close, shut down whatever I'm doing, or be around, or go to another room or whatever, just so that I make sure that I'm communicating properly to show that I appreciate what they're saying and that I'm paying attention. And then last but not least are the points that were pointed out in this book were overreacting to emotional words. Sometimes we have buzzwords. And I can't remember. I was trying to think of the words that people set off, that set people off. You say certain words in conversations and you just know, praise God, I said the wrong word. And so, conversation's down the hill because I said the word that, you know, or an emotional word or a buzzword that causes them to go into another direction. And so listening more, you get to find out what those words are for other people. You get to find out what those things are that distracts that person. Like a mom with two baby kids, the kids crying, that doesn't distract us because, praise God, we already know. But for somebody that doesn't have a kid, that might be a diversion to divert their attention from the conversation. We want to make sure that we're not paying too much attention. When I do feed, and I say that I wasn't going to say homeless, but just for the sake of you knowing what I'm talking about, I say those that are in transition, I don't focus on what they're dressed or how they smell or what they look like when I'm communicating with them, because I want them to feel just as much as part of the conversation that we're having, as much as they feel that I'm worthy enough to even hear what they have to say. And so when we fast from talking sometimes, we can see sometimes where we may err in the conversation, and we want to make sure that we don't do those things. And so when we do, this is what we could take away from our fast. Now, some people do it for a day. Some people do it for a couple of hours. Some people do it for a week or however long God desires for you to do it. Because sometimes many of us may say things that are just not godly, or we get quick-lipped because we just don't feel like being bothered, or whatever the situation may be. You know, if you're short-tempered and you can go, because you don't know what wounds you may be causing because of what the word says. That we want to make sure that we speak gentle words. And so we know we don't speak gentle words, then we may need to do a little fasting from our mouth to see where we may err. And so with hopes that you're doing a fast will give you four things that, at least this other article that I read, would give you a better takeaway from doing the fast and what you can look for. Of course, those other tips were some of the things that we do eternally. But this is what you should grasp from doing this. That you can realize how you express yourself when you're talking to people. Do you smile? Do you nod? Do you pet people? Do you touch? I know I do the touches. With COVID, it's kind of hard to do the touching and the hugs and the show the expression of love, but it's still easy to do. You could fist bump. You can elbow bump. You want the people to know that you're paying attention to what they're saying. And even when we're doing this, even by phone, you can still not interrupt, but say, you know, I feel what you're saying, or I understand. Those are things that express that you have, that you're understanding. Now, of course, if you're fasting, praise God, they can't see you. You could text them or you could tell them, you know, I'm fasting from talking, and so I'm not going to be responding as much as often as I usually am. And then at that time, you could pray and ask God to give you a quick, gentle answer. And then if it's something that you need to further, write it down. And then make sure when you write it down that you seek God to make sure that you're writing the right thing so that that communication will go off if you have to speak. Other than that, it's best for you to acknowledge your fast and stick to your fast and let people know, especially those that call you on a regular basis, I'm going through this process, and so that they know not to call. But if they have a problem, that praise God, you'll do it. But praise God. The other thing that you'll find is that if you had bad habits, those habits you will see, and then you could break them because you don't want to be an interrupter. I know a couple times a friend of mine has told me, you know, I don't always get my expression out before you interrupt. And so I had to work on that and make sure, especially when I'm in a teaching environment, I'm like, if you're going in the wrong direction, pump the brakes, stop. I don't want you to go any further. But I have to let them get that all out. And once they get that all out, then praise God, then it'll be easier for me to speak. So I had to learn how to break those habits. Don't always say that I have, but praise God, I'm paying attention to it because I want to be spiritually mature in that area. Another good outline to figure out, you know, or take away from fasting or fasting from negative speaking and your response is that you're able to listen better. And so even though you may not be in agreement, you don't always have to answer right away. You can take the information, process it, and then at a later time be able to respond. It's better to hear than to speak. The Bible talks about that as well. And so especially when you know that emotions are involved, that it's better for you to take what you've heard and analyze it before you respond. And then last but not least, God speaks to us more than we think. If we are quiet more often, we will hear God speak to us. It's interesting, even in our prayer time, sometimes we're doing all the talking. Sometimes go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to be quiet. You'll be surprised. The revelation that you'll receive by just being quiet or just yielding, holding your hands up, closing your eyes, looking to heaven, get a scripture and put it on your heart and your mind and just worship silently and see how much God will speak for you. And you will be surprised how much wisdom will come from that, from just not speaking, just allowing God to minister to you. And so the takeaways is that you learn how to express yourself differently. You break bad habits. You practice on being a better listener, and then you hear God's voice a little bit more. Now, the coolest thing in going through this is always going to drive me back to the Word. And so why the Word is so important, I did this exercise for a class that I was teaching, or several classes that I've taught. But it's very important, and I'm not going to teach it in a way that I taught it, but I'm going to teach it so that you understand. If you look at your hand, you just turn your hand over, and you have your thumb, you have your ring finger, you have your middle finger, your pointer finger, your ring finger, you have your thumb, your pointer finger, your middle finger, your ring finger, and your pinky. And so if you could imagine that there were letters on your finger, and then you start from your thumb, and your thumb is an H, your pointer finger is an E, your middle finger is an A, your ring finger is an R, and your pinky is a T, and that spells heart, palm, because it's bigger, the word apply would be. And so when you think about, I'm going to do the word first, but when you think about the word and when you're asking God to kind of give you revelation, and I often say that even when you listen to a minister or you hear an inspiring word, you always remember that you have you hear the word. And so you're always going to hear the word. And then when you hear the word, if you're really listening, you'll think about the word. And so if you have your thumb and your pinky for the heart and for the T, if you think about it, if you put a book or you put an object in your hand and you try to pull it just holding the thumb and the pinky, you can't hold on to what's actually being said. I mean, it goes in one ear and comes out the other most times because you're just thinking about it. But if you actually hear the word, think about the word, and then examine the word. So that means you're going to not only hear what the person said, think about what the person said. You're going to look those scriptures up that I said earlier, and you're going to examine those words. And so now if I have my pinky, and I have my thumb, and then I have my forefinger, and I hold onto a book, it's much harder to get the book or object or whatever I have in my hand that I'm holding, because I have a little substance. I don't have a full gamut of it, but I at least heard it, and I thought about it, and then I found a scripture reference to go with it, and so it's harder for it to get out of my hand. But then if I take it a little further, and so when I share, journaling is so important, that you write down what the scripture says, that you ponder on and you analyze, take it word for word, get the definition, and have a better understanding. Let's just say John 15:5, my favorite scripture. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so now I hear that. Okay, that's cool. Jesus is the vine, okay, and I'm a branch. But if I really break that down, he is the vine. And as long as I stay connected to him, then I'm going to grow. And if I grow, that means I'm going to have fruit. And if I have fruit because they're connected to him, that means they're going to last. And so if I'm having fruit from him and they're going to last, I should be connected to him all the time, not be connected to nothing else. So absolutely, if I stay connected to him, I don't need nothing else because I can't do nothing without. You see how I process that? That's analyzing the scripture. Now I will praise God. I'm going to remember it because it's important to me because that has meat. Okay, Lord, you divine. I'm just a branch. You right. I'm stepping back because you in charge, not me. And remember, even the scripture we said, we weren't going to say, it is what it is. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Look, are we doing the hand? Amen. So now I hear, I think, I examine, I've analyzed the word, and now I'm going to remember it. So praise God. When I put that book in my hand, it's hard now for me to get that out of my hand. So that's the word. That's whatever conversation that you used to say. That is hard to get out because I've done this process. But then when I put that in the palm of my hands and use all of my fingers, there's no way you can get that out of my hand now. You don't have to take my hand off or pull me out of my stance in order for you to get the word out of me, to get that book out of my hand. Why? Because I have a firm grasp and I have a firm grip on the word or the words that have been spoken. So when I was thinking, I was like, Lord, you can apply that to just conversation. And so if I tell you I'm not feeling well, you hear me. But we have the phone you don't think about no more. It's not even going to affect you. Are you going to pray for me? Probably not. When you read your Bible, are you going to call my name out? Probably not. But if you hear me and you think about me and then you analyze, well, wow, if I was feeling like that, what would I need? I probably would need some food. Oh, are her children eating? You know, is her husband okay? I'm going to call them. And now you're examining. Okay, now, well, what's going on? What did the doctor say? What can I do? Now I'm remembering, and then I apply those skills. Now I know you effectively heard me. And I'm not just saying me. I'm just saying in general, when people are talking to you and having a conversation, especially if they're expressing themselves, and that's why it irritates me for the church, if I could just bash in the church for a second. I'm sorry. But when new members come and they give their life to Christ, it is an awkward, awkward, awkward situation for them, especially if they do it in a big church or even in a small church and there's a group of people. You're walking up to the altar and you just don't understand why this light seems to be shining on you to give your life to Christ for the first time. And it's like, oh, what am I doing? And then everybody's clapping and shouting because you're going up. Now, they have no clue why everybody else is doing it. I just know that little light was on me, and I needed to walk forward. And then I get up to the front, and then they're, this is a great decision you made. Okay, and then now I need your phone number, your address. We need to take your picture. We need to make sure that you pay your tithes and offer. I don't know nothing about none of that. All I know is I was scared to death because a light was shining on me that this was God knocking on my door, and I wanted to answer. But now I've given all my personal information away. I don't even know who I rode with. If they're still there, are they waiting for me? You know, were those people laughing at me? Did I have something hanging on me? All these thoughts are going through their mind. And then it's see you next Sunday. So who's calling to make sure that they even know that they made the right decision? And I'm not saying during the week. I'm talking about that day. Because you better believe Satan is waiting for them, probably even before they get to the parking lot, probably at the door, to the back door, to the entrance to get out. And this, why did you do that? All those people looking at you and laughing at you. Who's calling? Who's really following up with that person? And so how do they know that they're supposed to go home and thank God and read their Bible and pray and the enemy's going to come? Who knows? Who knows if they're going to a battered situation? Well, you went to that church. How dare you? Nobody knows because we just cheered and clapped that they gave their life to Christ, but there was no follow-up. And then when you do the follow-up, the person that does the follow-up, are you doing it with the mindset of this person really could be lost, could be going through something that really, really needs. Are we making the right effort to communicate the right things to that person? And that's why I said we don't effectively listen as often as we should. When people call, I love the scripture, and I can't remember, and I'm sorry I didn't look it up, when it was, you know, I need some bread. And it was like, well, we got to pray first before we give you the bread. When the Bible says, feed him. Then, you know, give them, I mean, whatever they need, pray for them and then feed them and then give them whatever they want. Many times we have them jumping through hoops before we even really listen to hear what the situation is. And that's why I enjoy doing mission work, and I enjoy doing feeding those that are less fortunate and teaching those that are in situations that they just don't believe there's any hope. Because nobody really is listening to them. They go to these agencies and they have to fill out all these paperwork. And if they have an address, they don't have an address. Can they get paid? Can they not get paid? And then if everybody goes on to the normal way of life, not really putting themselves in the place of the others. And so my challenge for each of us today is to really see what can we take away. It may not be fasting from talking. It can be fasting from your negative thought process or your negative attitude or not willing to go the step further to think about the person that you're talking with or go a step further as a person that you're trying to help, a person that needs help. We automatically assume what we want, and that's why I was saying it's so important, these steps. It was beyond talking. I mean, are we judging people based on what we think, our conclusions, or whether we want to help or not? Are we making decisions because they look the way they look? My favorite is that person at the corner, they don't need no help because how they get money to make the sign? How do they get money to get markers and all that? I mean, making all these excuses if they just need help. Let God be the judge and the jury of whether they're being deceptive or not. If God leads you to help, help. If God doesn't necessarily tugs on your heart to give, pray for them. It's so much that we could do, but we show our maturity when we don't respond, when we respond incorrectly. And so I love that God gave me the ministry of Empowered to change the way we think, to change the way we see situations, not necessarily based on our own understanding, but to do it through the eyes of God. That's why I was telling the people that are tutors, I love this celebration of Easter, not because it's Easter, but because of the resurrection. It is because had Jesus not died, it was great that he was born, but it was most important that he died. And it was most important that he died so that we could have the opportunity to not only have the power and the authority that he gave us, but just to have a relationship with him. We did not have a relationship with God before. It wasn't promised to us. But Jesus coming and doing what was necessary and dying for him to go back to be with the Father so that he could bring something. That's why Pentecost is just as important, because he is going to give us what we need to make sure that we have the power to do what needs to be done. When he said that he was going to leave us, give us, we would be able to have more power and authority than he did. Where does that come from? That comes from us being obedient and listening to God. We have to hear each other to do and instruct, and then we have to be obedient. It's almost back to that hand thing, your heart. What is in your heart? Your heart is going to represent what you do. Your heart represents whether you're mature or whether you're immature in the things of God. We talked about this it's been a couple months, about how we go to church Sunday after Sunday, and we're no different. That shouldn't be. We have to show that we've grown. We have to show, if nothing to anybody else, just for yourself. Ask yourself, Lord, am I the same way? Am I operating the same way I was operating 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? Lord, what I need to change. What do I do to change? And you got to ask God and be obedient to what he tells you what to do. Does that mean you need counseling? Does that mean you need to you know, really assess and write down some things that you know are challenges in your life? And find the Bible scriptures or talk to somebody that can help you figure out, okay, I talk too much. What can I do there? Well, let's do a spiritual fast. Or I'm not growing enough in being obedient or paying my tithes. Whatever the situation is, that's what you need to write down and make the assessment for yourself. You have to do self-check. If we're not self-checking, trust me, the devil is checking. I know my mentor taught a Bible study a couple weeks ago about the I know I think it was I Know the Devil, but he knows me, or something to that effect. Trust me, he knows. He knows your areas of weakness, and he knows your strengths. And so he's going to make sure, deception, that you're deceived into believing you're fine just the way you are. You go to church, you all right. You read your Bible every once in a while, you all right. You're going to make it in. But what is God calling you to do? What are the gifts and talents that he's giving you for you to use to be able to have the same power and authority that he used when he was here? I personally want to be able to allow my wisdom and the anointing and gifts of God to be so radiant on me. When I'm ministering, I want people to be healed just because I'm in the room. Not because of me, but because the anointing is so heavy on my life that God is moving in every aspect of the room. How does that happen? Well, one, I have to repent to make sure that there's nothing in my life that's not going to cause his word not to really penetrate my heart and my mind and my spirit. And then, praise God, be open and know and train myself in the areas where I know that I'm weak so that I won't make those mistakes. Because one of the coolest things, I love the Bible, it says that if anyone, like I said, thinks he's more religious than he does, it bridles his, he deceives his heart. We can't keep walking in deception, believing that we're these awesome Christians and we're not doing anything with our gifts and our talents, like he said, so that we would be able to do and use the power and authority that he left. I mean, yesterday should be a big reminder that we need to be walking and talking and doing that Jesus came and allowed himself to be beaten and chastised for us to have power and authority. We should be operating in that. And so if the first part of it is our tongue, we can fix that. The next thing is our actions. And so we got to be mindful. Are we being spiritually mature or spiritually immature? Amen. I know I could keep talking, but I am out of time. Not out of talk, but I am out of time. I guess I need to fast till next Monday, right? Amen. But praise God, make sure you tune in next week where we'll have another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings from Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I always close the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it really does, even more so now that we know that he came, died for us. Amen. Every praise belongs to him. I also dedicate this song to my nieces and nephews that are listening around the world too. But more importantly, I want you to make sure that you always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day. And then end your day with prayer. God loves you and so do I. Have a blessed week.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Take it up, give it praise.
It's to our